You know, you have to picture a guy like a construction worker being surrounded by all these university professors and telling them to be quiet and don't you dare do that again. And you know, and you see. But Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered them. Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, where did he get that wisdom? To so phrase what he'd done. I mean, how can you examine somebody, institute a juridical proceeding against somebody who just healed somebody? That's all. And he puts it that way, you see. We are being examined by about a good deed done to a cripple, namely, by what means he was saved. Saved, they put here. You know that, you know, the word sozi in Greek means to save and to heal. So you could have put either there. Then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, from Psalm 118. How did this construction worker get this eloquence, this knowledge of Scripture, and this courage to confront all the big shots of his country? You see, there is no salvation through anyone else, nor there is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. He's come a long way, hasn't he? I never heard of Jesus. I don't know anything about Jesus at the trial. And now he's preaching it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. If we pray, the Holy Spirit will do that for us. I don't care whether they get mad or arrest me or whatever. I know what I have to do. I have to tell people about Jesus. And then we come to the text. Peter finally said, that is how prominent he is in these after resurrection scenes, because he's the Pope. He's the leader. So he said, look, I'm going fishing. Now, they must have been already up in the north. And the others said, well, we'll go with you. Now they fish at night, you know, with a torch. And their net is a great big thing they throw out, and then they row in circles, closing the net in until, you know, hopefully there's lots of fish they've just gathered, attracted by the light, and now they have to bring that ashore, see. A few years ago, they found just, it was a kind of a drought, I guess, they found at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee a fishing boat from the first century, perfectly intact. It's great to see one, you know. So if you go there, you can, it's over on the northeast side of the lake. So anyway, they've been rowing around and waiting, and nothing happened. Jesus said to them, now they translate it here, children. Here's a man talking to other men. Huh? He probably said, boys, did you catch anything? Nah, nothing. Well, then throw the net over on the other side, to the right side. Now here's a total amateur standing on the shore. Doesn't know anything about fishing. according to them. And yet something told them to do it. So they did it. And then there were so many fish, they couldn't get the thing in the boat. So they dragged it along in back of them. And then pulled it as far in as they could. And then, they were only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish in back. They climbed out on shore. They saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Now, think about that for a minute. Who built that fire? Jesus. Who got the bread? Jesus. He got all ready for them. He made breakfast for them. This is God. This is the living, eternal Son of God. And so Jesus said, well, bring some of the fish you just got. So he went over there. He pulled the net ashore. And there were 153 large fish. That line has probably been responsible for gallons of ink. Is there some sort of great mystical? Nobody, if there is, nobody's figured it out yet. It's about 8 or 10 candidates for that meaning. Any case, the net wasn't broken. Jesus said to them, this is too colloquial. Come, have breakfast. Come, eat, you know. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Why? Well, first place, he's risen from the dead. It looks like Jesus, but I mean, and it's going to feed us. See, they didn't realize it was the Lord. So Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them. In like manner, the fish. Now, this was the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. And there's going to be more, right? Tomorrow, Peter is going to be reinstated, right? No, we're going to wait a day. It looks like. But you know, he's going to ask him 3 times, have you studied scriptures? Have you, you know, what does he ask him? One thing. Do you love me? Then be Pope. Then be anything. That's what we need, to love Jesus. Well, to love Jesus, you have to hang around with him. And that's why we pray every day and talk to him and be with him and listen to him. So that if he says to me, Francis, do you love me? I can say, yes, I do. And so, but why 153? As I say, there's been, maybe 200 guesses. Nobody's satisfied that we got the right one yet. So he came over, took the bread, and gave it to them in like manner the fish. He prepared for them. This was the third time Jesus was revealed. But think of that revelation. You see, he miraculously supplied them with fish. He already had some bread. He'd lit the fire. He was getting breakfast ready for them. Isn't that touching? I mean, here is not only the eternal Son of God, but even now in his humanity, radiant, glorious, risen, conquered death itself. And he's making breakfast for his disciples. It's a great lesson. Who is great in this world? Those who really love.